to me.
What up? What up?
Yo, I had Oreos that are the carrot cake Oreos.
Carrot cake Oreos?
Yeah, I got them today from Instacart. It's a good day. It's a good day to be here.
I think carrot cake is one of the underrated
cakes. Yes. Because you know what I realize? Everybody talks about fucking red velvet cake, but it's just a red ass cake, bro. A red cake.
It kind of is. It really is.
Like, I mean, it's not that it's not bad. It's not bad. It's just like, fuck the hype, bro. I like cake.
Isn't it just red cake with like some white icing?
Yeah, I think it's like chocolate, red flavor. I don't know. Either way, what I'm saying is, fuck that shit. No, I love it. I love red velvet. But also, so shout out to carrot cake for being an amazing dessert. Also, have you had hummingbird cake?
What the hell is a hummingbird cake?
Oh, that shit. It's good as fuck, honestly. I'm gonna tell you right now because I can't go on without telling you. Hummingbird cake definition. Oh shit. Okay. A hummingbird cake is drum roll. Okay. It is a banana pineapple spice cake, common in the southern United States, of course it is. Ingredients include flour, sugar. Okay, anyway. So yes, it's often served with cream cheese frosting.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That shit is so good. You have to look at a picture.
Where can you get that? Can you get that around here?
Yeah, it's pretty common.
What have I been doing this whole time? Look, cake is great.
Cake.
Yesterday was international.
Yo, look at you, wait, Da Vinci, boy. We can't just slide past that. You're wearing a color that's not black.
Yeah, I'm actually. I'm wearing this. Okay? What's that?
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. It's actually coming down to laundry day, and I was like, well. I'm actually wearing this on purpose for another podcast that I need to that I gotta record after this. I can't say what we're talking about because that would ruin the surprise. But there's gonna be a point to wearing this, and it'll make sense when I do that podcast. But yesterday was International Pie Day.
Right.
You know that I did not know that, and then I was thinking about it, I was like. I did not have any pie. I was thinking about key lime, ordering some key lime pie. By the way, let's combine the two worlds, okay? Back in 2012, I had a charity event for my birthday, and this will be food related, so we'll keep this for the intro. And real quick is that I had a birthday party at the W Hotel. Right. I think it's on the 16th floor. They had this place called Wet Bar, which is a bar with a pool. On the 16th floor of the hotel. So, I had my birthday party there, and it was for a charity, or like an organization I started. But the funniest thing was, well, two great things. The people that catered it, was a cupcake company out of Blue Ridge, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they make, I don't know how many kinds of cupcakes, but they made key lime cupcakes for me.
Oh, yeah. Before we get into this podcast, first of all, I got up at 5 a.m. today.
Oh, shit. God dang.
I'm back on my shit with doing the 5 a.m. thing. So here's the schedule. 5 a.m. every day. 5 a.m. every weekday. 8:30 on the weekends. And so I can, really move myself up to waking up at 5 a.m. on the weekends, but I figure 8:30 is still relatively good for me. So 5 a.m. on the weekdays. But anyway, and I'm also reading this book until I finish it every day. I'll show you. For people who can't read it, it is Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, How We Can Learn to Fulfill Our Potential. And it's by Carol S. Dweck. She has a PhD.
Nice.
And it's the updated edition. My mom gave it to me
That's
because
a nice gift.
She thought I would. She said she thought I would like it because.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's
so
all you.
I've been reading it. Yeah, and the great thing I love about this book is, it kind of talks about stuff so far as what we talked about. I'm only on page 54. Well, I'm on page 55. I mean, so chapter 3. But the thing that I love about it is that it talks about the different mindsets of having a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. So, you know, it's so a lot of things that you and I talk about in regards to mentalities. So,
let's start today's episode and talk about that. How about that?
Let's go.
Yo, it's Simon Illa.
And it's G.
And it's Two Gibbs Walking to a Bar podcast, brought to you via the Anchor app and via Zoom. You can go to anchor.fm and download the desktop app or on your phone, whatever phone you have. I believe it works on all kinds of smartphones. You can record, edit, distribute your own podcast, which will be given to you upon birth with your social security number. Who produces this podcast?
Just Alchemy LLC.
Fact. Okay, so you... Oh, let me say this real quick before we even start anything. We got another guest today for everybody out there. We got another guest. Our week 2 winner from our March Madness contest we're having on Instagram Live every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. This week's winner is Kola, K-O-L-A, yes. I believe, right? And yes. She did great. She came through with a pretty dope song last week, so we're going to talk to her a bit in today's podcast. I'm pretty stoked about that. So, let's talk about mindset and books. Two different things. I mean, in not literally just books, but books we might be into. I can recommend so many books. My Audible app, I think I have I can't remember how many books, 38 books just in my Audible catalog. And yeah. I've listened to all of them. There's a lot of good books. So I think that mindset has everything to do with everything.
Yes.
It really does. What do you think about mindset? Whether it's something you learned from the book or something that you just naturally kind of think?
I honestly believe that, it's the biggest factor, to be quite honest, because, I know that my mentality pisses a lot of people off sometimes, because I am, people would take the fact that you don't let shit, get you down and make you quit as, being naive, but it's really just, pushing through, and, you know, finding ways to see the positive in things. I think a growth mindset is something that I've had to learn, is not fixating on certain results to equate how I feel about myself or the type of person that I am. So let's say, for instance, I don't sell a beat in a certain day, right? Does that mean that I could A, think about it and say, oh, I'm terrible, I never get sales, I'm the worst producer out here, or B, I could say, okay, I didn't get a sale today, but I'm still great, I had a great day, these opportunities happened to me, I'm alive, I watched a great show, I don't know, I made some dope beats, whatever, but right. it's all about mentality in the same situation, and same thing, I'm sure, you know, not to speak on your story, but I'm saying, for you, you've had some things that happened to you in your life that you definitely could have chosen other alternatives, even though you lived in that situation. So, you could have chosen two different paths, and you chose the path that you're on now. And so, again, it has to do with your mentality, I believe, of recognizing that your circumstances are either very temporary, or you have a way to, get through whatever you're going through. So I think mentality is really great, and there's a lot of good books. I like The Art of Not Giving a Fuck is a really great book. Have you read that one?
Yes.
Yeah, The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Great, great book.
It's All in Your Head by Rush. I like
haven't
that
read
one.
That yet. I bet it's good.
Yeah, I listened to it on Audible. And then now I'm reading the Mindset book. And I honestly, something that I'm getting into now more so is actually reading less business books and more about mindset. Because yes. I realized that, like, you can know a lot of information, know a lot of right information, but if your mindset is not in the right place and you're not really okay mentally, all of that shit kind of goes out the window. You know what I mean? So I've learned that getting my mindset together is an important factor, at least for me, to get through whatever I need to get through. But what do you think, Simon?
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of good points, and you know, you're right. It's like when we talked about this before, but it has a lot to. There's a lot to say for when people might approach someone like me or you, and when I say like us, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, physically different, obviously, that's kind of unavoidable. But what's interesting is, I don't know if this will make sense to you, but it does to me. I think sometimes we're, in a good way, borderline delusional, in a way where people go, well, we don't see ourselves as different.
No.
And to, I think a lot of people, they think, oh, well, that's sweet. Like, you don't want to be, no, like, I don't even
really
mean it. I don't mean it like that. Like, I'm not in a wheelchair. Watch me walk, you know. Like, you know.
That would be fun, actually.
I'm gonna shit that shit. Legs going snap, snap. But what I mean by delusional, in a weird way, is we're at a different default,
right?
To where we go, okay, we're in a wheelchair, you know, we're short, you know, whatever. We had to go about things, but we don't. I'm a firm believer that the world looks at people how they look at themselves. So if you don't see yourself as this poor little gimpy person, like, oh, the world hates me, and there's stairs everywhere, and people don't like me, they're gonna laugh at me. It's like, I mean, there. By the way, that's just human. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but
right.
there are alternatives to it, and
yep.
When you look at it from a different angle, I think a lot of it is how you're brought up. It's like, if you're over, you know, I don't want to say, what would the word be? If you're overprotected, and by the way, this goes for anyone. If you're a fully able-bodied person and you're overprotected growing up, or you're sheltered, there's the word.
Yes.
If you're sheltered from the world, like people saying mean things, or people insulting you, or people not doing what you want them to do. And
yes.
Then when you go out in the world and you see this, you're going to turn into jello because you're
yeah.
so fragile that you're like, you can't handle anything. But when you already are at an angle, you get out there and you go, like, it's like, okay, I'm sure you saw it. One of my friends sent me that video of that some sports broadcaster using the N-word on a broadcast, like, and his mic was on and he didn't think anybody heard him, and he said some really messed up racist stuff. And my friend sent it to me, and he knows me well. And I said, yeah, I mean, it sucks, but it doesn't surprise me, because I just know people. Like, if you know people, like, that's really the key thing to life, I think, especially a mindset, is not only trying to know yourself, first and foremost, but also at least trying to understand other people. That's what messes people up all the time, where they, like, you know, I don't, what, like, people don't think like you think. People don't think like I think. People don't think like any of us think. So,
yeah, everyone thinks.
Right. So, like, when you and I, you know, like, we talked about it last week, when we me and you and Pamela showed up at Witch Witch or Starbucks
Oh, yeah.
in my neighborhood, more so Witch Witch, and everybody remembers that we were there, like it was a little event. Like, I could be kind
Yeah,
of
like one
weirded
of the
out by
strong
that.
cars.
Yes. But I could be weirded out by that, but I could also look at it from the other side and go, I would definitely be like, whoa, this is crazy. You know what I mean? As a human being,
Yes.
you're like, what are the odds? Like, three people, three little people, three nationalities. We were like the little Olympics up in there, like little people
Well, it would be
Olympics.
ethnicities. It would be ethnicities because nationality is we're all American.
You are correct. Thank you for correcting me. So, but yeah, but that's what I was saying. So, but see, some people will get mad at that. Like, oh, they're just like, because we're little people, like, he's being an ass. Like, the guy's not being an asshole when he asked me, like, where are my friends? Because he did ask me that a couple weeks later. Which I said, oh, I realize what you're getting at. That's pretty funny. I didn't say that. But, so what I mean is, if you understand that, things are much easier. And by the way, that goes for business, that goes for anything. It literally all starts with a mindset. And if you know, I've said this in the Young Ones podcast with Kayende, and maybe even I've said it here, is pessimism is easy. Like a bad attitude is
Yeah, it's
easy.
very easy.
You know why it's easy? I mean, it's kind of a trick question, but you know why I think it's easy is because you don't have to do anything about it.
I mean, it's easier to complain than actually find a solution.
Exactly, because when you can complain, you put it in everyone else's hands.
Yeah,
You go, well,
it's easier to blame other people.
it's your fault that I'm not making it, it's your fault that I'm not more successful. Well, then now you're just screwed, so you're telling yourself, nothing I can do about it. Look what they're doing to me. But it's like,
Yeah.
well, but there are a lot of people that don't even think that route, and they just go, well, this is on me. Like, I can do the work and get it done. You know, this is. This, whether we talk about this or not, and I believe we have, but self-discipline is, it's one of the hardest things to do and one of the best things you can do for yourself. Right? Think on your audio cut out, you muted yourself.
I muted myself when I. Anyway, as I was trying to say, is that like when I woke up at 5 today, it took every ounce of me to really get out of the bed and be
Yeah, I
like,
bet.
let's get it. But once I did, I felt so good about the situation because I was like, man, I can get all this stuff done and I can get stuff organized. It's quiet, nobody's awake. You know what I'm saying? And it puts things like in a perspective because you're like, man, I can get a lot of things done and before noon, and then I went right back to sleep to take a nap around like 12 something, and I took a nap, and I because, but it just goes back with that discipline of like really not putting the blame on others, which is hard to do. As humans, I feel like a lot of us want to blame other people for things that happen or like, whatever. But like, let's say you're late for a job interview. Obviously, if you have a fixed mindset, you could blame the drivers and the traffic and okay, but then maybe you have to think about it. What time did you leave to start going to the interview? Did you leave at the last minute to get there? Or did you give yourself enough time? Now, if you left, let's say, an hour before, and then you got caught up, okay, that I guess that could happen. But did you check? Did you check what the traffic times would be? Did you check when? Because they have those apps now that tell you when, like around when heavy traffic will be. Did you look at that? Did you, different factors. Even if you went in the same area as your interview at a lighter time. So maybe you just shopped around. You shop around before your interview starts so that you can be in close proximity so you don't have a reason to be late. I mean, but again, if your mentality is the world for my problems and this is why shit didn't work out and whatever, then you're fucked and you're not going to be a happy person. You're not going to be that happy of a person. because you're, and the thing is that this book talks about is when things are going great, you're great. But then when things are going bad, you're bad. And so, and if that goes over some people's heads, that's fine. However, when you have a fixed mentality, that's more so what they're talking about. In a growth mindset, if things are going good, that's good. But if things are going bad, it's all about perspective. It might not even be really going bad. It might just be that situation. You know what I mean? Like if you got an F on a test, it doesn't mean you're stupid and you should drop out of school tomorrow. You just should do better on the next time and study, get some tutoring, you know, right, or whatever. So it's all about mentality.
Yeah, I think too that, you know, in my own experience, if you look at something, if you look at a task, like say it's just ginormous, like when I was younger than you, and I'm sure you had these thoughts too, when I was maybe 19, so probably around the same time as you, but when I was like 18, 19, when I started really producing, like, because I was just kind of making music in my, you know, house when I was in high school, when I started producing people in college, and then I started going...
But that's what I did during college. I feel like I started getting more serious in college.
I think it's because you're kind of out in the world. And at least for me, I started playing in a band, and then it was like we had a little studio, and then they were just like, I was the guy putting everything together, you know? So it's like, oh, you're the producer. I'm like, oh, yeah, I am. You know, and then I was making beats. So anyway, what I'm getting at is when you look at it, and I'm still working on this, it's a never-ending process, but you look at it, you're like, I want to be this producer, like, I want people to know who I am. And you do all these things, and then you could even do it for years, and you're like, what am I doing? Like, am I doing this right? But then you look back, and you've made so much progress. And you're like, holy shit, I've done this. You know what I mean? You look so... But it's when people look... It's almost like looking at a mountain, and you're going, fuck, I gotta climb that. Instead of just going, just start walking.
Yes.
You know, just start walking, like, even if it's slow, and then at some point, you're going to turn around and go, oh shit, I'm halfway up the mountain. Okay, cool. Or whatever you call it, you know what I mean? I've made some progress. Right. You may never even reach the top of the mountain, because, I mean, where does it stop? I don't know. But I'm saying at least you make that progress. So this is why, and, you know, maybe you and I, and I think a lot of people are of a different mindset. And I will say this, if anybody out there that listens to this or watches our stuff or follows us on social media, if you happen to have a disability or whatever, I was about to say don't listen to anyone, but be cautious who you listen to. And the reason I say that is because if I would have listened to certain people in my family, in my household, in my vicinity, I wouldn't have done anything. I would not have done shit. Because they're always like, oh, you don't want to go out there. You're going to get mucked. Like, I can't tell you how many times I was told I was going to get robbed.
Not robbed.
They're like, oh, somebody's going to steal your wallet. Somebody's going to try to mug you. Somebody's going to try to pick you up out of your chair and kidnap. I was like, what? Like, what are the odds of that? I mean, how many times does that happen a day? You know, but...
Yeah, that sounds hella extra.
And by the way, I'm not saying it can't. But the odds of it are so little. I think people put, I don't even know why people put that fear in you, because I almost feel like that's a selfish thing. And by the way, I don't care who you are. Don't tell people things you don't know to be fact. To where it's like, when you go out there, this is what's going to happen. It's like, you don't know that for sure. Because it's so stifling. Because if you go out into the, by the way, and I know, you know, I've done a lot of things, and some things I don't recommend people do. You know, like when I moved and didn't have a way home and all that shit, you know, that's just me being me. I don't recommend other people do that. You know, if they do, that's on them, you know. But what I'm saying is, what people, I know people have heard that and go, oh, you were so brave, and you were, no, I was scared as fuck. But it's the only way I knew how to get out of that mentality was to be scared. I was like, that's part of this, is I'm gonna be out here, I'm gonna be scared. But that's, and I something about it kind of excited me about that, because I was like, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen. But then when I was doing it, I was telling, you know what, honestly, because you and I have a bit of the same ego, I know that. What got me hyped up more than anything was when I went to Philly and had no place to live, and people would ask me what I was doing. And I go, I'm breaking into the music business. I don't have a place to live right now. And they're like, are you dead ass serious? I said, yes. And they're like, that's the coolest fucking thing I've ever heard. And I was like, yeah, it is. Like, just that hyped me up. You know what I mean? Because I was like, okay. And then people started looking out and supporting me. So I don't mean literally, but, well, some people did eventually. I had mentors that paid some of my bills the first couple months I was, very kind of them. But that's because I stopped believing what other people told me about me that nobody knew. Meaning, like, you can't tell somebody what they're capable of. You can't. Yeah. Or what their limit is. Like, you can't go out here doing this. Like, what do you mean? Why can't I be? What? Why not? I grew up with the mentality, I question everything. I literally question everything. So when someone's like, oh, like, you can't do this, I'm gonna be like, don't.
You can only control one type of device at a time. Try creating a scene or making separate requests.
Didn't this happen last time when we were on IG Live?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
It happened one night on IG Live. Siri started talking.
Excellent.
Anyways, so speaking of guests, we got a guest about to come in. So we're after this little break. We're going to be back with last week's winner of March Madness, the one and only Kolo. As promised, here we are. We're back, and we're here with the one and only Kola. Which is spelled K-O-L-A, right?
Yes, K-O-L-A.
Okay. So, you're the second winner in our March Madness contest. I really like what you brought to the table. So, I don't even know a whole lot about you, although I feel like I've done some investigating. I hope that didn't sound creepy. I've checked out your Instagram page, your YouTube page. But what can you tell people out there, like, where you're from, how long you've been working on music, like, any, just some kind of bio on who is Kola? Who are you?
Okay, well, first off, I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
West Side Detroit, born and raised. I started doing music a very long time ago. I first found out I had a passion for it when I was about 7 years old, and I just pushed myself to be better, as far as singing, rapping, and songwriting. I started taking it serious when I graduated from high school. So I'd say around 17, 18 years old is, when I actually thought that I could, you know, make a mark with my music as far as being a big influencer for, you know, to the world. And ever since then, I just been on the grind, you know? So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes. We actually, earlier in our episode, we were talking about our origins of music. And I think a lot of people discover music when they're kind of discovering themselves as like who they really are. And it's like, I knew for me, like as a teenager, I was like, what am I good at? You know, like, if anything, you know, what am I good at? And you kind of find, you know, and it's weird because I think it's great to find it, because I think some people will have a hard time finding it, you know, or they don't, you know, which
they
is...
They never do. They never find their passion. Yeah.
But I do believe everybody's good at something. I think that's a fact.
Yeah.
So you said you're from Detroit. Does that mean you're still in Detroit?
No,
where are you?
I'm in Alabama right now. Okay. It's fine. It's fine. I'm an open book. I mean, I don't think anybody's looking for me or anything. So
okay,
I'm
okay. Good. I think I actually knew that for some reason. I don't know if you told me that or maybe it was in one of your songs.
Yeah, you seen it on my video. I think I had that on my video. And you, the one that you watch, it said that I was located in Alabama. So yeah,
that might have been it. Okay. Well, because I you never know now, because I always assume either people now are in L.A., Atlanta, or the DMV. It's always one of those three.
Yeah, that's true.
Nowadays, which is interesting. So, now you, okay, I'm a little, as a producer, I'm intrigued because the song you came with into the contest with last week, I thought was quite a bit different from what we, I don't want to say we always hear the same thing, but Jay, what would you say? Don't we kind of hear
kind of this?
Yeah, you know, it's like a trap beat and a, you know, rapper and, you know, maybe some auto tune, whatever. But I feel like, Cole, you came with something, and I don't know if this sounds weird or not. It was like on a borderline of like a merge of R&B, rap, but then there's like a little bit of a pop element to it, which, and I like all three of those things. So,
well, yeah, it's funny that you say that. That means that you have a great ear for music, because a lot of people try to put me in a box, and they always ask, like, what is your lane? Like, are you a hip hop artist? Are you R&B? Are you pop? Are you soul? And I tell them, I say, well, you have to be the judge, because I feel like I'm music. I don't have a lane where I'm just hip hop or I'm R&B or I'm soul or I'm rock or I'm pop. I literally have all those songs, like different genres of different songs. So it's funny seeing that just in that one song, that's incredible.
I think that's what producing, you know, all kinds of music, you kind of hear those influences in certain ways. Jay, do you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to actually ask Cole about this, because I was on your YouTube channel earlier today, and I noticed that, you know, as you said, you've really been consistent with posting since around, you know, 18, 19, after high school, and I saw your first video was the So Far Gone Challenge 4 years ago, and I really want to hear more about, like, What's that journey been like? Because I feel like for all of us, we all start somewhere. So I noticed that was your first video. I said, okay, So Far Gone Challenge. I remember that. So what's it been like since then, you know, posting that first video on YouTube? Like,
oh, man. Oh, I'm kind of glad you asked me that. So I haven't been consistent. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I have not been consistent. And that's one of the reasons why I haven't made it to where I want to be at in the industry. Well, the So Gone Challenge was strictly impulsive. I just thought I would do it just because it was a challenge. And literally it went viral on Facebook, but I didn't know back then that I could have actually used YouTube and it would have went viral on YouTube and I already have my monetization by now.
right.
But I didn't know. So I was new to the, you know, the social media stuff. So when it took off on Facebook, everybody was like, wow, you got to keep doing videos. You got to keep posting videos. Where's your next video? Sending me songs, sending me beats to record, sending me covers, producers from Atlanta, Cali. I mean, it was bonkers to the point where I had to turn my phone off and like just be like, oh my God, somebody's gonna call me from LA and I'm gonna get that call to fly me out for, you know, to see if I could get a deal. I never got the call, but I wasn't consistent. So I have to blame that on myself. As artists, we put a lot of blame on other people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I take accountability for not being in everybody's face. Like, this is social media. If you're gonna make it, this is how you have to do it these days. So, it was strictly just something to do. I had no idea that it was gonna go crazy. I think on Facebook it's probably at like 98,000 views.
Nice.
Something like that. It went viral. So, but I can't switch it over to YouTube. So I mean, you know, if you look at YouTube, the views are only, I think,
it's
like
1.9 thousand.
Yeah. 1.9K. Yeah. So I kind of uploaded it late on there, so it was just like, whatever.
Yeah, and you know, I appreciate the transparency. I think, as you said, a lot of times, just people in general have a hard time of holding themselves accountable. I wasn't going to call y'all because I did see the space between the videos, but they're like, hey, you know, whatever, like, it'd be like that. You know, I just wanted to see kind of where you were going to on that, because everybody's different. But I do think it's great that you are now really, you know, putting the foot on the gas to be consistent and understand, you know, what you can do for your own career to, you know, get to where you want to go. Because I see your latest video, like, People Gonna Change, that got shared because you were doing kind of a campaign for that song. I remember, because I would see your stories you would post on there with different people sharing it and stuff like that. So I was keeping up, you know, like, so I just think it's great that you as an artist understand the value of investing into yourself, and also utilizing social media in a way that can get your music out there. Because again, songs come out every day. People will forget about you if you're not in their face like that. So bravo to you.
I'm hip. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And it's been a slow process. I'm kind of stuck somewhere between don't rush greatness and don't just put anything out there. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, I have to be consistent, but I can't just put anything out there because the people want Cola. It's like, okay, you guys got to let me get this together. Because let's be honest, I'm only working by myself. I don't have a team. Right. Like, most successful people, they either start when they're very young with this music. Like, you think about how Beyonce got in the game because she was started with her parents, Michael Jackson, and other, Justin Bieber. They were successful, and now they can just sit back and kick their feet up because they started when they were young. And then other people who didn't start when they were young, they had a team. They had a producer. They had an engineer. They had a campaign manager. They had a manager. They had a publicity team. They had people working for them. That's not an excuse, because a lot of people, when I say this, they say, oh, Cola, you don't need nobody. You're just not doing enough. And I'm like, well, that's easy for someone to say that's not doing anything to help me. You don't know how it is to be an artist, to buy beats, to record, to write. And I'm a single mother. Let's make that sure. You know, so that's another thing. You know, I took some time off to be a mom, and then I came back. My son is 5 years old now, so he's a little older, where I can maneuver a little bit now. But yeah, when you're doing everything by yourself as an artist, I don't have a manager, you know, so it's me. So, I mean, even me and you, we have a song together, and I think that it's brilliant, man.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I can't wait for you to hear it, but I don't want to rush and do it and just put it out here. You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, I got a lot of stuff to record. And with me being from Michigan, a lot of my studios are in Michigan. So, you know, when I moved in Alabama last year, I didn't know anybody. And then we've been on quarantine. So it's like, where do I record?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. So only time I really record is when I'm in Michigan.
Right. And I wanted to ask you this question, though, because it was on my mind. So as you know, in the music industry, it is a male dominated industry. And a lot of times just the expectations of women in general are high as hell. You know what I mean? You got to look this way, be this way, rap this way. How has for you as a woman in this industry, how are you kind of navigating through that? You know, because I'm sure, you know, we could talk about all day, maybe some experiences that you've already had with being a woman in this industry. What has that been like for you? And again, how do you navigate through that?
Whew. Really asking some tough questions. you know what? It's not been easy. I'm gonna be honest with you. Especially not having a face. So when someone wants to connect to me, they have to come directly to Cola. I don't have a manager.
Right.
And that's the hard part, because it's a very sexist industry, like you said, and not to bring in the Me Too, but a lot of people want you to sell your soul out here. And that's not how I operate. I don't have a problem with paying for studio time, beats, shows, whatever it is to get me recognized on a platform that I have to be recognized. And, a lot of producers I dealt with in the past, if you're not sleeping with them or doing anything like liking on them or whatever, me being an attractive woman, they don't want to do music with you. They don't want to, they don't care about the talent. They're like, okay, you're talented, well, what's up? And it's like, no, bro, can we just stick to one lane? Like, can we stick to
right?
One? I'm trying to make you a millionaire. You talking about making me your wife? That's not, we're not compatible right there, bro. Like,
right.
That's one reason why I think I need a manager. So if I had a, and I don't care if it's male or female, but I feel like if it was a male manager, then it'd be more of my face. You don't have to directly go to Cola. You're going to her manager, and it would be so much easier for me to maneuver. But it's been tough, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that there's a lot of pressure also as a Black woman in this industry? Do you think there's a pressure to uphold a certain standard as an artist to have a certain image? You know, I got to ask you these questions. You know, I was ready. So I ask you, like, what's that like, that component as well?
I'm glad you asked me that too. Right on the money, to be honest with you. It's very hard as a Black woman because, and as a rapper, singer slash rapper, you're compared to Nicki Minaj, mm-hmm. Megan Thee Stallion, I'm sorry, Cardi B, Mulatto, and all the other up and coming new female artists. See, when I started, I'm not going to say when I started because I'll be telling my age, but whatever. When I started, it was really just before Nicki Minaj, honestly. I had that lane. I just wasn't consistent. And then Nicki came and she took off. So right. She set the mold. She set the mold for the tone right. of what a female artist as a Black woman should be rapping and talking about. This is before, I'm not talking about Trina and Lil' Kim. Yeah, that was
Foxy Brown.
Yeah. So back then it was like, okay, they kind of took a break off, and then Nicki came and took over. Like, I think she won Best Female Artist Grammys like 7 years in a row because she had no competition. It was like, wow.
Right.
They had no choice but to give it to her. But anyhow, to answer that question, I do not want to be seen as a woman who talks about twerking, talks about
right.
setting a man up for his money, talking about it's a hot girl summer. My legacy, I want to influence little girls to be powerful. You know, I feel like I want to instill some type of gratification through my music. Once they hear it, they feel proud to be a Black young woman. They're not thinking about how can they get over on the next man, or how can they stun on the next female. You know, I want to empower our people. And that's what stands me apart. Everybody wants me to jump in the lane where I call it ratchet music. I'm Black. I'm from the hood.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's certain
things. Me, yeah.
It's like, for what? Like, what do y'all want? Why do y'all want? What do you want these children to grow up to be? You know,
yes.
drug dealers and to continue to kill each other. And, you know, so I'm all about the movement, man, and the empowerment. So I told myself I'm going to get in the ratchet lane. I'm going to show them that I can be versatile and do that type of music, but I don't want to be confused with that type of artist.
And I love that you spoke on, you know, both of these topics. You know, I think it's important to talk, especially since we're both a part of the Black community. And I just want to say that I like the fact that you spoke on, you know, what are we teaching these kids that are growing up? Because, you know, even for Black men, a lot of the music, as I know, sounds the same. It has the same topics. And I also want to break out of that mold. And, you know, just in general, working with Black artists and creating a legacy with music that doesn't have to just have a certain message, you know, because it does set a tone, and it does have an effect on our own people. Even through music, it's such a powerful thing. So I just want to say kudos to you for the fact that you do want to change that narrative, you know, for our people, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that's important, and I definitely think, you know, more Black women and men should come together to create that and change, you know, make that change in the music industry, because we got a long way to go. There's a lot of things that are, you know, as you know, happening in the community, especially in regards to hip hop music and that kind of, those lanes that are just, you know, very toxic. So I just want to say kudos for, you know, doing you. That's a big thing as an artist.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't ride waves, I create them.
Hello.
Well, I think too, and if I may, I think that goes for the industry at large also. Just, you know, and ironically, I was going to bring this up, and unfortunately we have to close out soon, because I'd love to talk to you for like another hour, but I'm stammering because it's weird that before we brought you on, Cola, and one of the first things you brought up was personal accountability, which was actually what we talked about earlier in our... We were talking about mindset, and we're saying, well, because I'm always it's easy to blame other people, that's why a lot of people do it, because you don't have to do anything. When you blame someone else, you go, well, I've done all I can do. But when you're optimistic, you go, I can do a lot more. My livelihood doesn't depend on this person. Anyway, to draw it all the way back to what you were saying, I think, you know, I'm going to say in music, in pop music, commercial music in general, does a lot of those things where it's almost the same thing. It's what is easy. It's like the fast food of music. Where it's like, well, it's not really good for you, but it's easy to make, and everybody can do it, you know, and we just serve it up by the millions. It literally, some music is like a fast food, you know what I mean? And some things are, some people want to eat vegetarian, you know? They want to eat better for themselves. So I think that that's, it's definitely, it's always good to meet artists that are trying to do something with substance, so... but anyway, unfortunately, we got to wrap it up, Cola. But we're really happy to have you on here. And can you unmute your mic real quick?
Yes. Sorry about
that. Oh, sorry. It's okay. But we appreciate you coming in and hanging out with us. Congrats on winning last week. And now you got the finals coming up in a couple weeks. You have two more songs. So I have confidence in you. But I can't play favorites because it is our contest. So, but I'm pulling for everybody. I really am. So
the end of the competition, so it's next week, I submit, and the next week after there, that's the grand finale.
No, you're already in the finale. You're already in the finale. You won a week, so everybody that wins in the next those 4 weeks goes to the finale.
So what I'm saying is I have to compete next week, or I don't?
No, you don't.
Oh, so why did you... Okay.
We ain't got to see you until April, because what we do is, if basically the rule was if you don't win on a certain week, you can enter again, is how we do it. And then if you win, you're good.
I got it. I was confused.
Now you're good.
Okay.
Well, we had to do that in order so people that wanted to compete again could, but it also made room for other people in a way. So, but anyway, we appreciate you coming on. Real quick, how can people get a hold of you? What's the best way to check you out and your music? How do people contact you?
Well, it would be a great delight if everyone could log on to YouTube and search The Real Coca-Cola, spelled T-H-E-R-E-A-L-K-O-K-A-K-O-L-A, and hit that red subscribe button. I will be having... Mm-hmm. some new music, new videos. Me and Mini Producer have a record coming out soon. I think it's dope. I would love your judgment. Leave a comment, like, share. Just make sure you subscribe. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, dope, D-O-P-E _ music, M-U-Z-I-C. That's me.
Well, Cola, we appreciate you coming in. We appreciate you making music and contributing to the world.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful thing. Thanks for hanging out with us.
I appreciate that. I'm so glad.
We appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Okay. Thank you. I'll see you guys soon.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate you. Buddy. Thanks.
Back here again. So shout out to Cola for that interview. Jay, aka Mini Producer. If people want to hit you up, contact you about beats, contact you about anything, how do they reach you?
You can go on my website, miniproducer.com. And any further inquiries, geez Louise, the info is in my bio. Yeah, I know. Any further inquiries, the info is in my bio on my Instagram, Mini Producer. You can contact and all that stuff. For technical issues, you can, however, contact support at Mini Producer com. So yes. And don't forget my website, like I said, miniproducer.com. I go on Twitch, Mini Producer, TikTok, Mini Producer Official. I'm everywhere that you want me to be, well, that I want to be at. So be sure to check me out. What about you, Simon?
Well, everybody can reach me, Simon Illa, S-I-M-O-N-I-L-L-A, pretty much anywhere, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pornhub, Black Planet, MySpace, everywhere. You can catch me twice a week on Instagram Live, 10 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays and Sundays. You can catch me and MP every Thursday at 7 p.m. And this month we're doing our IG Live March Madness, where you can win the use of a exclusive beat produced by me and Mini Producer. Yes. So don't miss out on that, please. By the way, as usual, this podcast is brought to you via the Anchor app and via Zoom. But go to anchor.fm to download and, yes, you know, do all that good shit. But anyway, who produces this podcast? Yeah.
Ilkami LLC.
Yeah, all right. And we appreciate y'all checking us out, share the podcast, and all that good shit. So until next time, this is Simon Illa.
This is Jay.
We're out.
Yes.
Peace.